This is the Fathering Project podcast, Figuring It Out Together, where we tackle many challenges facing dads and father figures and explore fathering across all ages, from newborns to toddlers, school age and teenagers. We speak with experts in their fields to help you navigate solutions and positive outcomes for each stage of your fathering journey. Let's figure it out together. Hello and welcome to the Fathering Project podcast. Katie Gapayar here, and joining me today is Professor Andrew Whitehouse. In today's episode, we focus on raising children with autism and the support available for dads, especially to care for their child. We'll also explore how dads can effectively assist their child's social and communication skills development through play and engagement. Now, Professor Andrew Whitehouse is the Angela Wright Bennett Professor of Autism Research and the Director of ClinicKids at the Telethon Kids Institute. He's also a Professor of Autism Research at the University of Western Australia, Research Strategy Director of the Cooperative Research Centre for Living with Autism. And prior to coming to the Telethon Kids Institute, Andrew was a Junior Research Fellow at the University of Oxford. Woohoo! There's a lot of titles there, Andrew. At the Telethon Kids Institute, he leads a network of clinical centres called ClinicKids for children with neurodevelopmental differences that embeds clinical trials within everyday community practice. Andrew has published over 300 peer-reviewed journal articles and attracted over $60 million in competitive research grants. He currently presents an internationally syndicated video series called 60 Second Science, which has had over 2 million views. He's also been awarded a Eureka Prize for his research and is the youngest person ever elected to fellowship of the Australian Academy of Health and Medical Sciences. In 2023, he was a West Australian of the Year award winner. With that said, we are absolutely privileged to have Andrew, an expert in his research field, join us today. Andrew, a big welcome to you.
Thank you so much. Oh my goodness, get a life, Andrew. That sounded so boring. Sorry about that, but I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you so much. Incredibly accomplished, and we are absolutely privileged to have you talk to us today. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Now, from your experience and observations, what are the common challenges faced by dads of children with autism? There seems to be more support out there for mums rather than dads.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm really thrilled that we're here talking about this today. I think it is true that there is a greater support for primary carers, which so often tend to be mums rather than dads, and that that dads are often there is fewer supports available out there for them. Which probably doesn't align with their dad's utter importance to the support of their child. Look, there are so many common challenges that dads experience, and I think perhaps, you know, having been through the journey with hundreds, if not thousands, of dads who've had a child diagnosed as being on the spectrum, I think perhaps the biggest one is around that path to acceptance of the child's developmental differences. It's not necessarily delayed. It's not necessarily harder. It's just different. And I think it's different in a number of ways. You know, when we have kids, we're often defining our kids and their success in the way that we as males have tended to define our success. And that's through external factors like work, like sport, like social relationships, rather than necessarily intrinsic factors about kindness and courage and those other things. And when you have a child develop differently, those external factors become really shaky. You start to understand, can they ever be reached? And of course they can be reached, but at that initial stages, it really is a bit shaky. And so that path to acceptance is really rocky. Certainly with males, of course, there's a very much a fixing mentality. What can I do? Something's broken and it needs to be fixed. And a really important path to acceptance is that these kids, you know, kids who are developing differently aren't broken. They're different. And that an acceptance of that difference while supporting and removing the barriers but not fixing is actually a really key part of that. I think that the other thing, of course, is discussing all of this. You know, there has been a generational change in how blokes relate to each other. But nevertheless, there is Still some challenges, some just inbuilt challenges that people have to in discussing these significant challenges. And I can't tell you how many dads have told me over the years words to the effect of, I didn't know I had this amount of love inside of me until my child came along. And that's the same with the other side when a child is developing differently, that I didn't know I had this kind of grief inside of me until my child received a diagnosis of autism. They're huge feelings, and they're huge feelings to be able to sit with by yourself and try to solve and rationalize by yourself. And to a large extent, you couldn't or shouldn't need to. And so all of these sort of get wrapped up in a really different path to acceptance, and that path to acceptance can and does happen. It's just a different path.
And being a parent is, testing in the normal state of affairs. But when you have a child with special needs, that would be more isolating and a more difficult journey. As you're saying, that path to acceptance is a very difficult thing. You don't even think about that as a parent who doesn't have a child with a special need.
Oh, absolutely. And the joy of parenting is amplified by connecting with the parenting community. And what happens often when we children get a diagnosis of autism is that that community shrinks, and sometimes shrinks just down to that family unit. And so the isolation that can occur with these huge existential feelings are really, really challenging and are a major road blockage to how we can actually best support the kids, from the day-to-day of the sleeping challenges. Often if we ask people to define what a good day is, it's if they got a good night's sleep. And the sleeping challenges, the toileting challenges, the feeding challenges, those day-to-day, if you're fighting World War III three times a day in terms of feeding, it's really challenging. To those medium-term challenges of schooling, and then the long-term challenges of what's going to happen to my child when I die. All of this can be really isolating and really make you shrink back into your own family unit, which is really beneficial in some regards because it really helps you focus on that family unit. But the joy of parenting is not just in your own family, it's connecting with other families, and that is another challenge.
It is a very isolating journey, as you're mentioning here. And I imagine that that primary carer and the child with a special need or with autism become a team, and that probably isolates the father even more, as generally the primary carer, as you mentioned, is the mum. That would isolate the other parent if it's the dad even more, because it's the mum and the child together learning how to, deal with everyday challenges, and the dad is left out of it. Has your research explored that significance of father's involvement in the care of children with autism?
Look, I think that is often an indirect effect, is that we often so often work with primary carers because primary carers are often the people who are ferrying kids around, but also often the way in for therapy and support of that child is through the most, closest people in that life, and that is the primary and secondary carer, but the person ferrying them around is often the primary carer, so it can happen. Look, I think more generally what our research has shown is that parents are the single most important agency and people within that child's life, and I think that comes through a number of ways. Number one, it's the single most important people in terms of the relationship with the child. So in the context of the father, obviously if they're the primary carer, is self-evident. But in the secondary carer, the relationship that a child has with different people, with different backgrounds, different genders, different ways of interacting, is a massively important predictor of later communication, later social adaptation. The more that we can have kids interacting with a variety of people in a way that's really helpful to them is really important predictor. But actually the other way that secondary carers and who are most often fathers can really be important in terms of their relationship is the relationship with the other parent, the primary carer. Marriage is, and relationships are difficult at the very, very best of time, and they require constant nurturing. And but you throw in additional challenges of parenting, where things such as sleeping, toileting, feeding, communication, these things that are often coming very naturally to other kids, and they become a true challenge within your own family unit. Relationships become even harder, and you find, of course, less time to nurture that relationship as well. So the more that people can invest in their relationships, very easy to say, hard to do, but invest in those relationships to develop a stable, unifying, consistent, loving, nurturing environment around the child will fly. They will absolutely fly from that foundation.
And is that the kind of advice you would give to dads who may be the secondary carer, not the primary carer, and they're not involved in day-to-day, is try and get engaged at every level?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've got so many different aspects of advice in that regard. Look, number one is that for any family, look, when you're the secondary carer, the absolute most you can ever do is 49.9%, and you better do everything you can to get as close to that mark as possible. And when there's a child on the spectrum, it becomes even more important, because the support of the primary carer is also going to be such an important part of your role. It's not necessarily about the support of your child only, it's about the support of that broader unit. But of course, I would absolutely encourage people, lean in and lean in hard. In the context of how we support, how we can all, particularly as dads, support our child's development, particularly if they're developing differently, get to their level, use the level of their language, physically get down to their level. Let them take the lead. Often in males in particular, when we're playing with kids, we direct them, do this, do that, do this. What we need to do is actually, we need to sit back and observe what gets them going, and how can we use that to get into their world. If there's anyone playing with trucks but not necessarily playing trucks in a certain way, they play it in a very idiosyncratic way, let's do that ourselves. We need to learn about how we can get into their world rather than how we can get them into our world. That comes later. Connect through comedy. You know, dads are great at comedy. Mums and dads do it all around, but dads find that character, the clown character, a really wonderful way to connect with kids. You're going to find that even magnified with kids on the spectrum. Lean into that. So there are all sorts of ways that dads can play the role, not just in terms of supporting their child one-on-one, but also making sure they're doing 49.999% as close to that mark as possible by supporting the primary carer, but supporting themselves and supporting that family unit.
Thank you, Andrew. I just wanted to pick up your word about play and getting at their level. We know that dads have an important role in the way they engage and play with their kids. What are some practical ways they can support their child's social and communication skills development, ensuring their children have enjoyable experiences during playtime and recreational activities? You did mention that, you know, dads should get at the same level and do the kind of play their child does. Is there anything else you think that is needed there?
Yeah, sit back and observe first. It's a very natural thing for a parent, and particularly for a parent whose children are developing differently, to play using a child that they imagined that would be in front of them rather than the child that is in front of them. And that's a long-term recalibration and realignment and just an acceptance. But the sooner we can look, observe, and just wonder at that beautiful child that's in front of you, and then look at what they are doing and to get into their world rather than trying to get them into our world, the connection will be far quicker, it'll be far deeper, and it will be enduring. Sit back, observe. What can you do to get into their world?
That's wonderful advice. Thank you. Can you discuss any recent advancements or promising research that you're currently working on for children with autism?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we've been so keen on understanding is how we can best provide support during those very early years. The typical pathway for kids on the spectrum is that we identify that kids are developing differently early in life, often in that second 6 months of the first year of life, really early, but our systems aren't geared up to accept referrals for kids so young. And so we don't typically diagnose autism about 3, 4, or 5. And that's that diagnosis is the trigger for the commencement of how we provide therapies and supports. But what we've done is a really 10 to 15 years program of research that's really started to harness the power of firstly parents telling us that their child is developing differently or their baby is developing differently and what parents can do to support that child. And so through a number of programs, but particularly our program called Inklings, we found that actually by identifying little babies between 6 and 18 months of age who are developing differently and helping parents to understand firstly how important they are, how amazing their baby are, and how they can connect with their baby to build that social environment around the baby. By doing that through a very structured program called Inklings, actually we can reduce disability long term and enduring. And that's a really important finding. But for me, the broader message is how important parents are to supporting their child, that it's not just about the love that they can provide, though it is that actually they provide a really important role in promoting their child's development, even when they're developing differently.
And by that, do you mean that they themselves, of course, need help and guidance and a toolkit to be able to look after themselves as well as their children?
It does. Yeah. So it's twofold. Number one is that when it's about how they can best support their child. So when children develop differently, they interact with you differently. And that actually means that you interact in a different way to them because we interact in pairs. And so what we're seeking to help parents do is to be detectives of their own baby, to understand that their babies are communicating with them, you know, even when they're developing differently, and they're communicating with them in the most important ways. And so we're helping parents understand that, how they're communicating with them, and what they can do as parents to build that social environment around the baby. But a really important part of that, of course, is the stable family unit. Now, families come in all different shapes and sizes, and we can have stable family units with one parent, with two parents, and with all sorts of family structures. The most important thing, though, is that families have as much in the tank to support their child as possible. And a really important part of that is having enough in the tank to support themselves. And so, yeah, that's an important thing from the get-go.
And what advice or encouragement would you give to dads and parents, as you said just then, who might actually be feeling overwhelmed or uncertain that they're not the full tank and they don't know how to become the full tank, particularly in terms of their child's long-term outcomes and opportunities?
Yeah. The first thing that I would say on that one is love the child for who they are, not necessarily the picture that you had in mind when you were having kids. This is a lesson for all parents. Every single parent in the world, we have a picture of our kids in our mind, and kids are different. Love them for who they are, who that person is in front of you, rather than the picture you had in your mind. You know, parenting is the greatest unrequited love of our lives. You know, our kids love us to death, but there is no way that they could love us as much as we do, otherwise they'd never leave. That is your superhuman power, is to love, use that love to look at who they are and really lean into that. I think parents of kids on the spectrum, you have to acknowledge the challenges. It's hard. And it challenges you in every single different way that you ever thought was possible. And then it throws more at you. But also be aware of that extraordinary human in front of you, the courage that it can take a child to go to school when they are terrified about the sensory environment, they're terrified about the social environment. That's courage that typical 5-year-olds don't have to muster. And your child is doing it. Even when they're not doing it, they're grappling with that kind of courage. The kindness that they show, even when it's hard, And of course, all kids are rude and unkind at parts, but they will be showing kindness as well. And the humour they show, that human that they are, that humour they show can absolutely show off their beautiful personality as well. Acknowledge the challenges, don't sugarcoat them, but also step back and think, God, how amazing is this little human that they're showing that? The other thing that I would say is be open to how this changes you. You will look back. The days are long, but the years are short. That's how parenting goes. And when the years do toll up, you'll look back and say, look at that person I was when this all started. Look at the human that I am now. And what a different person that I have become. And there will be a time when you say, this was the hardest and best thing in my whole entire life. Look, in terms of parenting advice, find people to talk to. You are not the first person that's gone through this. And having people who understand what you're going through, who can provide advice, who can indulge in some black humour, is exactly the thing that you need. Get involved. Don't sit back. Get involved. Parenting ultimately, like everything in life, the more you put in, the more you get back. There is never anything truer than parenting a child on the spectrum with regards to that. The more you get in, understand your child, understand the extraordinary person that might be your partner in this relationship, as well as the child, as well as the siblings, your admiration for humanity will just grow. Invest in your family. Invest hard in your family, your time. Every bit of time you put into it, you'll get back. And enshrine your natural role as a parent. Often when you have children who are developing differently, there becomes an obligation to be a therapist. And there is some of that is necessary and is an important part of how you support your children. But you also have a natural role and a natural right to be a dad. And that will come in different ways, but it will come, and lean as hard into that as possible. The outcome for your kids is so much brighter than it was 20 years ago, and you will have the best ride of your life, the hardest, but the best.
That's a beautiful way to end that question. As you say, we need to ensure all dads feel supported in raising their children to the best of their ability, being the best dad they possibly can. Lean in, invest in, and look after yourself and your family. It can be challenging, but with the correct resources, the journey can be a bit easier to navigate. Andrew, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you join us. Thank you for lending us your incredible expertise in this space. It's been an insightful discussion and something I know many dads and caregivers who are listening will appreciate. To learn more about Andrew and his work at Telethon and Clinique Kids, visit telethonkids.org.au, and that website will also be up on our Fathering channel. Thanks again, Andrew, and we hope to speak with you again very soon.
Thank you. What a joy.